Welcome to Super Talk, the podcast that scratches your superhero itch. Just two suburban dads nerding out over superhero stuff on the small screen and the big. Buckle up, people. Enjoy the ride.
Welcome to Super Talk, the weekly podcast dedicated to news and reviews of comic book media on the big and small screen. This is episode number 73. I'm your host, Brian Professor Pettis, and with me, as always, is my illustrious co-host, Titanium Tony Estrella, the penal jumping man.
I'm no termite. That's for damn sure. Titanium's no termite. That's for fucking sure. But hey, before we get started, congratulations. Had a great time at your son Charlie's grad party at Mustang Sally. It was a big blast. You are looking down the barrel at being an empty nester, sir.
Oh, yeah. It's the end of an era, you know, but it's also the beginning of a new one. I guess that's the way I'm looking at it.
One chapter ends and another one begins.
Right. It's like...
Whatever that horse shit is.
Yeah, you know, he graduated, officially graduated from high school last Wednesday. We had a grad celebration this weekend, and thank you for coming and all those that came out. It was great to see everybody and come out and you know, support my son.
I was the Iceman. The Iceman.
The Iceman cometh. But yeah, I really appreciate everybody coming out and helping to support Charlie. And we had a great time.
It was fun.
It was really good to see everybody. And you know, he's going to start the next chapter of his life, going to the University of Alabama.
Roll Tide.
Yeah.
Roll Tide.
He'll be...
good for him.
Supporting the Crimson Tide.
It was great to see Kendall there. She flew in, huh?
Yeah, my daughter was in town. She was able to make it up from... Orlando, she got the mouse to give her the weekend off, and so she came up over the weekend and was able to make the party, and it's great to see her because she's been working really hard down there.
Good for her.
Good news is she did say, I think she told you this, she said she's ridden the Guardians of the Galaxy roller coaster now like 12 times,
I believe. Something like that. She's been on it a lot. They say they during the day they put their name on a waiting list, and as soon as they get off of work, if they get a call back for the waiting list, they go ride it. So typically they've been having a pretty good luck and getting on it. That's awesome.
They're using the virtual queue system inside of the Disney app, and you enter into the queue when the queues release. And when she's working like an early shift, that queue release happens like kind of like the middle of her shift, and she'll put in for a queue. And then hopefully by the time she gets off of work, her spot is up. And yeah, she said she's ridden it a dozen times now. She said she loves it. She said it's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, like the kids
I said,
obsessed with it. Yeah. You know, they're obsessed
with it. I told her, I said, I have bad motion sickness. Would it fuck me up? And she said, well, obviously I didn't use those words. I'm being a little crass. But I said, would it fuck me up? And she said, probably not. No, there's no like spins or loops. You move a little quickly. You spin a little bit. The screens are all around you. You're totally immersed in that universe. And I was like, I don't know. I think you would
get over it because of the immersive content you would be in. And from what I understand is what she's told me is that, like you said, it's not really like a thrill ride. It's more of an experience ride.
Yeah.
So while it's a roller coaster, it's not like the G forces are off the charts and you're loop going through loops and all kinds of, it's really more of a, like she said, she thought it was very much similar to Space Mountain and the way that Space Mountain kind of goes around in circles and things like that.
Okay.
But it's not like you're getting thrown against the wall of the cart or anything like that. It's great.
Well, you're not in that Harry Potter shit either. And I got sick as a dog in that Harry Potter thing. With the riding the broom and stuff.
Oh, the screen right on top of your face and everything. Yeah, I didn't like that one either.
Yeah.
I don't like that one. Yeah.
Anyway, I had the patch on when I did the Avatar ride, and it was spectacular.
That's amazing.
I'm going to have to patch it up.
I'm going to have to, like,
a motion sickness patch.
You got to do it, though. I mean, even if you get off of it and you say, you know what, I'm not feeling great, but it was awesome.
Oh, of course.
You know?
Oh, of course.
Did she tell you, like, Terry Crews is the main host on the ride, right? So, surprise, cameo. Terry Crews is the guy who's kind of like, you know, kind of
leading you through
it. You through the whole, he's like your host.
The NovaCore host.
Yeah. And she's like, he's hysterical.
That's awesome.
I'm like, yeah, so that's pretty cool.
He's awesome.
All right. Well, before we get started, let's thank the listeners that bring the show to you. Patreon.com/supertalk is how you become a patron of the show. Donate $1 an episode. That's all you do. And you're supporting the show directly. Hey, if we make your day a little bit better, you're listening to our podcast while you're driving to work, or it's helping you pass a little bit of time on your busy day. Hey, support the show directly. Patreon.com/supertalk. We really appreciate those have done it. And yep. We appreciate anybody that wants to sign up. We'll send you some swag.
No question. Swag wagon on its way.
All right. Well, without further ado, let's get into our review section. And we had a doozy this week.
Wow. A
couple of surprises specifically.
Well, was it the producer or the director? I think it was the producers of The Boys said the first episode is the craziest shit we've ever done. Like, it's crazy.
One of the craziest scenes is the craziest scene we've ever filmed.
Yeah, it shocked the shit out of me. Like, it's the most insane thing I've ever seen in a movie or in a TV show, for sure a TV show, but in a movie streaming. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
So, a couple of big surprises, though. The show was set to premiere on Friday, and instead, Amazon Prime dropped it Thursday evening,
yes,
which was a huge surprise. Nobody expected it, and all of a sudden, it was out Thursday night.
Social media blew up. I remember texting you. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah. And the other big surprise was we got the first three episodes of the season on that first drop, and we thought we might get one, maybe two, but all three, that was another huge surprise. So they dropped it early and they gave us three of them, so that was just enormous.
Yeah.
I was so excited to watch it. You were, I think, already seen the first one, and my son's a big fan of the show as well, and I said, hey, I'm gonna wait till Charlie gets home, we're gonna watch it together. He goes, ooh, be careful. I'm like, what do you mean, be careful? He goes, might be a couple of uncomfortable moments in this first episode to be watching together with your children. I'm like, oh, all right. Well, he's a big boy and he's 18. I think he can handle it.
He can watch it, but just you and him watching it together is uncomfortable. Like, I was thinking about that. Like, I was looking behind my, like, is there any of my kids down here? It was woo.
So just, it'll take us forever to break down all three episodes. We'll do a little bit of a synopsis, but just overall impressions of the first three episodes of the season so far.
It is on fire. Like, they came out punching the shit out of the viewers, and I loved it. Like, give me more. It's over-the-top gory.
People don't just die in the show.
No.
They explode in blood and guts.
It's like raining blood and guts type of carnage, and it's awesome. It's one of the greatest shows right now on, and then I haven't finished Stranger Things. I got one more episode of Stranger Things, which I absolutely think, if you look at both of them, you compare how Stranger Things is shot. It's not as gory. It's gory this season, but it's not as gory as The Boys. But I think cinematography wise, the way Stranger Things is shot is off the charts. It is second to none, probably the best shot show ever. It's just a great written show. It's awesome. But The Boys, it pulls you in and sucks you in. And it's like, I can't wait to see that next episode. It is so inappropriate. It is so gory and fun as shit. Like, it is just, I mean, who would have thought the little termite, you know? I mean,
well,
should we get into that scene?
Every single character on the show is compelling, and whether you're rooting for them, rooting against them, they're on the good side, they're on the bad side, they're all very well-developed characters with all their individual flaws.
You're
and
vested
like
into
yeah.
every single character. Like, you're into every single character. When a character dies,
some characters are into other characters more.
Wow. The first 15 minutes of the first episode, ladies and gentlemen, it's like, remember when the series started, when A-Train ran through his girlfriend?
You were talking about that.
And Huey was just standing there holding her hands, and there's blood splatter on his face, and he's like he didn't know, like, screaming his girlfriend's name. It's that shocking of an opening scene, you know? If not more so.
It was something that I just wasn't prepared for, you know, and I was like, they're actually going there. So it reminded me very much of in season one, the guy that had the penis that could grow to
sausage.
Yeah,
his nickname was Sausage.
It grew to enormous lengths, and it was like going through the air ducts and everything and like strangling people. And I'm like, oh my God, no, they're not doing this.
Yeah.
This scene was that times like 100.
Yeah.
And I it was something I just wasn't prepared for. But
fun fact for you, I think Termite was, remember when they were going through that nightclub and all that's where the soups were getting freaky and they were going through the nightclub to get intel in one of, I think it was season two. And there was a little guy running on a table and he jumps and dives into a woman's vagina. That was Termite.
So we've seen Termite.
We've
before.
Seen Termite. Yeah. How crazy is that?
Man.
So the scene is this little, this guy is making out with another guy. They're obviously,
it's a party at a private party at yes. a house. It's yeah. a house party, mm-hmm. right? Yeah.
And Frenchie and the girl that doesn't speak with the one with superpowers. I forget her name. Anyway, she's there and they're
Kimiko,
there.
Kimiko, right?
Kimiko or something. Yeah, you're Kimiko. Right. And they're there to get some intel and to basically find out about this character, Termite. And so they're kind of spying on it. And Termite's putting on a show in this little dollhouse, pretending to have sex with this Barbie. And it's hilarious. And everybody's watching and cheering him on. And then he grows big. And I guess his lover is there. His boyfriend is there. And they kind of sneak off to some bedroom. And they start making out. And his lover says, "I need you inside me." And at that point, you knew it was going to go in the wrong direction. And he ends up whipping out his dick and lays it on the table. And Termite shrinks. By the way, Sean Kelly, you're fucking wrong. It wasn't. He didn't crawl up. He didn't do the Thanos Ant-Man meme. He crawled into his penis head. And I was like, oh, my God. And they showed it. They showed all of it.
They showed him crawling into the penis.
Crawling. And then in the urethra, kind of rubbing him around. And his lover's like in ecstasy. And then he ends up sneezing. Termite in his penis sneezes and grows full size and he explodes. He blows the guy up from the inside. And it is so gory and so horrific. I literally couldn't look away. It was one of those things where I wanted to, but I couldn't. I was like, did that just happen? Are they showing this on television? I was shocked. And I was texting people that I know that were going to watch it. I said, don't watch it with your kids. Don't watch it with your kids. Ugh.
It was crazy. And then ultimately Butcher ends up breaking into the room after this happens. And Termite's trying to, you know, he's fighting him when he's like tiny and naked, right? With blood all over him.
He's trying to kill Frenchie because he saw him. He's trying to crawl into his nose or something.
And Butcher ends up coming in and grabs Termite, throws him in a bag of cocaine and like shakes it up. So it gets him all high and messed up. And,
yeah. And he's vomiting. Right. He can't function.
Right. But they basically arrest him, you know, which kind of is the lead in to where we are in the show right now.
Yes.
So the when the series, season three starts, we're a year past where season two ended.
Yeah.
And if we remember the kind of the cliffhanger of season two, Huey went to work for this congresswoman who
Victoria?
Victoria, I can't remember her last name.
AKA Nadia.
Newman, Victoria Newman.
Right.
She was on Capitol Hill on the forefront of the superhuman, like, control board. Like, she wanted these people to be regulated and watched, and there needed to be more oversight and supervision of them, and she was spouting this off in Congress. Well, that entire season two is about all these very powerful people in Congress and outside of Congress having their heads explode, you know, because they were in. And so at the end of season two, Huey goes to work for her, and he's like, "I'm done with the boys. Yeah. I'm going to go legit. I'm going to do this."
She's the one that has the superpower to explode the heads.
We were shown at the end of season two, she actually killed the
head of a church,
head of the what is it? I guess the what you call it, a cult that the Deep had gotten wrapped up in, and she ended up blowing up his head, and they showed it that was her, and so we knew
it was a parody on Scientology for sure.
Yeah. Yes, but we found out that she was a soup and that she was the one that was, you know, basically exploding heads the whole season. And that's her superpower. And so he's now working for her. And so he's been working for her for a year. Now he's become one of her kind of trusted advisors. Like he's somebody that she trusts and really, you know, put some.
He's actually in charge of Frenchie and Butcher, who are working for the CIA.
He's running the boys team. Who's now working for
legitimately
the superhuman control board that is now being funded by the, it's a government entity or government department. They all work for Huey now,
yeah,
effectively. And Butcher's really kind of, you know, drawn back. He's basically saying, you know, I'm not going to go off and kill superhumans anymore like I used to and hunt them. I'm going to
do it the right way.
Go legit. And we're going to just capture them and, you know,
bring them to justice.
Right, exactly. And so that's where we are. And it was a really interesting scene, that scene, and that Butcher showed some restraint. You know, like normally he would have just stepped on the guy and, you know, squashed him. But
which he almost did, but he restrained himself.
Right. But you can tell he's still kind of, you know, concerned about it. We also find out that he has a very close relationship with his wife's son, who happens to be the son of her and Homelander, who ended up very badly disfiguring Stormfront at the end of season two, and basically fried her to a crisp.
Took off her legs and her arm, one of her arms.
But now he's living in hiding. He's
a safe house.
Safe house with the head of the CIA that Butcher has always kind of been working with. But they become really close, and he sees Butcher as kind of like a father figure. And, you know, they're talking on FaceTime and Zoom and always meeting with each other. And you can see there's a really tight relationship there because Butcher's wife died at the end of season two. Big spoiler. So now, like, he's the only person that this kid has, really, because Homelander's a dirtbag and, you know, don't want to have anything to do with him.
Yeah, he's basically in, like, witness protection. And the old head of the CIA who used to run Butcher's team or the boy's team is watching after him. And,
knowing that he's likely the only person
that can stop Homelander.
That might be able to stop Homelander because he's got Homelander's powers to some extent, right?
Right.
But as a child, hasn't really fully developed them and doesn't know how to control them and those types of things. But they're keeping him as kind of like the trump card against Homelander someday.
Yeah.
But anyway, we've got that whole relationship. But this is like kind of where we are in the show. And they're just, and Starlight is still, she's now openly dating Huey. So it was kind of like
secret.
She was working with the boys in season two, kind of behind. She's in the Seven, but she's working with the boys trying to take down, you know, the Seven and Vought and all the bad things they're doing. And she was really instrumental in kind of bringing Homelander back under control because he had gone a little crazy when Stormfront was there. And
really developed Starlight's arc, character arc,
yeah,
where she came from, the beauty pageant, and then she finds out she's inducted into the Seven. And, you know, Deep does his thing with her, and she's kind of broken and realizes.
Mouth rapes her.
Mouth rapes her. That's right.
That's what she said. The guy who mouth raped me.
You're not letting the guy who mouth raped me back in the Seven. Now she's kind of realized what's going on, and her and Huey have this, you know, kind of doing it the right way. She's staying so that she can keep an eye on what's happening on the inside and reports to Huey, like, what's going on. And they're trying to bring it all down, but then they realize, when Huey realizes and he finds out that Victoria is a soup and she's the one exploding people's head, which was a brutal scene in the alley. You know, he's like, holy shit, I've been trying to, I felt like I was doing it the right way. I felt like I was actually making a difference. And to come to find out, I'm working for the enemy.
Well, he uncovers all this. He goes to the, I guess it's like an orphanage for superhuman powered children.
Yeah, it was an orphanage for supers. Yep.
And come to find out that, what's the guy that runs Vought? What's his name? It's, I can't remember his name, but
the guy from Breaking Bad.
Well, it's the guy from Mandalorian.
Yes.
Juan Carlos Esposito, but I can't remember the character's name, but he had actually gone there and adopted her when she was like 6 or 7 years old.
And he finds all that out. He steals.
He finds out that this guy, you know, that runs Vought, adopted her and brought her home and basically raised her as his daughter.
Yeah.
And had now implanted her in Congress and was completely controlling her, at least influencing her heavily, and she was working with them. So Huey thought he was working on the side of good, and he was the person that was, you know, helping keep these soups under control the right way, only to find out that it's being run by a soup who's still under the control of Vought.
Yeah. Basically the stepdaughter of the guy that's running Vought. And I think that's his failsafe, right? He knows that she can take out probably pretty much anybody. And some of the images of her at that, oh man, blowing up. What I wrote it down. I was going to put it on screen, but if you can find it, that'd be great.
Yeah, I'll pull his name up here in a second. But you know, it's very interesting to see kind of the transition that they make through the first three episodes of these guys. Oh, and Mother Milk, who is also a big part of the boys, has retired from the boys and is now helping to raise his daughter, has joint custody of his daughter.
Yeah.
He's taking medication to kind of control his anger and frustrations. But he's, you know, basically trying to walk the straight line so that he can be with his daughter. Yeah. And that's like all that he really cares about. And he's not part of the team at all. The first few episodes,
they've done a really good job of picking up storylines and continuing the character arc of all these characters. Mother Milk, Butcher, Huey, Starlight, which is fascinating to me. She's completely come first circle. She's now co-captains of the Seven with Homelander.
Well, she's got like, so that's what's so comical about this whole thing. It's all been, they're running it as a media company. So Vought is effectively like Disney, right?
Yeah.
And they're saying, and the Seven is just a superhero team that works for Disney, but Disney has theme parks and television shows and news media companies and all this other stuff. And everything they do is influenced by the ratings.
Yeah.
And she's got
numbers,
like
analytics,
off the charts, like favoritism numbers for her. And so they make her co-captain of the Seven, and like her relationship with her boyfriend and, you know, the fact that she's straight and narrow and that she's wholesome and all
and
this
other
stuff.
And the fact that Homelander was in bed with a Nazi, his girlfriend, Stormfront, and he's been on this, literally this PR campaign on every news outlet to kind of justify that. If you haven't seen Homelander and the way he is absolutely losing his mind and becoming more dangerous and more dangerous. I believe at the end of episode or in the middle of episode three, he basically outlines his plan to take over the world. Like, if you're going to release that, and if people don't, you know how much I want people to love me. This is what he says. You know how much I want people to love me. If they don't love me anymore, then what do I have to lose? Then I'll take out all the hubs, the Pentagon, the White House, and then I'll take out the infrastructure, and then I'll take out communications. And then you know what? I'm going to wipe fucking New York off the map just because I can. And then I'm going to come to your little pissant hometown and destroy that as well. And then I'll just start wreaking havoc. I mean, he basically threatens the world. And you can see Starlight like understanding the magnitude of what this guy can do. And, you know, Huey and them are looking for this weapon that apparently killed Soldier Boy. Do you think it's a weapon?
I don't want to give anything away, but what we can talk about that here in a minute. But I think the point you're raising is a very important one. At the end of season two, Queen Maeve and Starlight were working together to take down Homefront Stormfront and Homelander. Stormfront was now promoting this Nazi agenda that come to find out she's been a soup for the longest, and her husband was the original Nazi scientist that developed Compound V.
And they were waiting for Homelander for all their lives. They've been looking for Homelander, this Aryan type, to rule the world.
But Queen Maeve was very involved in that. Well, Queen Maeve and Homelander in season one were on a 747 airplane that was going down, and they went up there to save it. And then ultimately found out they couldn't save it. That there was no way for them to save it.
Yeah.
And Homelander basically, you know, threatened everybody on the plane. Said, if anybody, you know, tries to jump out of here, I'm going to light you guys all up. And it was all on video. They had the video of it. And they threatened to release it to the media.
Right.
And that was what was keeping him at bay. He was already facing media backlash. And his numbers were down because he was dating a Nazi.
Yeah.
Right. He was in love with a Nazi. And so he's trying to get the forgiveness of the public for that. Like, well, if we release this to the public, you're going to be public enemy number one. Nobody's going to like you ever again, right?
Right.
And so they were holding that over him.
Yeah.
And at one part in episode three, Starlight confronts him, and, you know, because they're all talking about the two new members of the Seven, right? So two people had
A speech at his birthday party that basically showed his true colors. Like, you know what? You're not the hero, people. You need me to save you.
That was a big moment in the show.
It was a huge moment in the show because he basically showed his true colors and he like stood up and was like, I'm tired of being, you know, controlled. And if you think they can they control me, they're definitely controlling you. You just don't know about it. And I'm tired of it. I'm going to stand up for myself and I don't like this.
I'm tired of apologizing for my power.
Yeah, I'm not sorry. I'm a superhero and you need me to save you. And I'm tired of apologizing. And everybody was like, holy shit, he's lost it. This is it. This is done. And then come to find out, his numbers go through the roof.
With who?
With men.
Men in middle, you know, in you know, basically white middle America, right? You know, it's like, you know, they're playing on the Trump supporters, right? Those are the ones who really liked what he said. But you really went down with women and, you know, inner city minorities. But his numbers did go up effectively. But that was right after he found out.
And that basically was the green light for him to be, you know what? I'm just going to be myself from now on.
But that was right after he found out. So we find out that Stormfront, when she had basically lost her arms and legs and she was on the verge of death, she's been being kept alive in a bed
in his room.
In his room.
Yeah.
Sick. He's still in love with her and he still like talks to her and everything else. But she's like, you know, half a person. Well, she ends up committing suicide. She bites her own tongue.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She did $1 million baby.
Oh,
but she dies and it really sets him off. You know, he's like, screw this. And that's where he goes to his birthday party and he's like, I'm not doing this stuff anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm not apologizing for who I am. And then, so that's what gives him the freedom when Starlight. So there were the seven is kind of like their group, their superhuman group, like the Justice League. Two members were no longer on the team. Stormfront obviously had just committed suicide. She was no longer on the team. She was a Nazi. And the Deep had been kicked off the team the year before. And so they had two vacancies and they're trying to fill these vacancies and they're trying to vote on who they want.
It was like an American Idol type of show.
It was a reality show. Yeah. It was a reality
show.
Crazy. And she wanted this Middle Eastern woman who was like a telepath and a telepath and telekinesis. And she's perfect. She's a perfect demographic. Who do I want? You know, she's basically looking for some support.
Yeah.
And come to find out her like ex-boyfriend is this guy named Supersonic who was in a boy band. And
hilarious storyline.
Yeah, he is one of the guys that's up for the role.
Starlight and Supersonic known each other for years and years and years. They were
it's like Justin Bieber and
they dated. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like
he's a speedster.
I don't know what his powers are.
Yeah, yet. He's a speedster.
But anyway, so he's being offered the role, and Starlight tries to convince him, don't take it. Homelander's crazy. He's threatened my life more than I can say, and. You just have to turn
get away
it down.
From get here away as far as possible. Yeah,
and he basically ends up telling her, "No, I'm going to do it because you need some backup.
Yeah, you need somebody to watch
you
your
need
back.
Somebody to watch your back.
I haven't quite figured him out yet. I don't know if he's good or bad.
Well, Huey's very jealous, obviously. So
they had a relationship.
Yeah, that's it.
And he's a super, and he's close to her.
Right.
Well, he's going to be real fucking jealous now after episode 3. What happened?
Yeah, that was crazy.
Oh
but,
yeah.
But you know, she. You know, he wants to bring Homelander wants to bring the Deep back on the Seven.
Yeah,
and
he strong arms
because
Starlight.
He can, but because he can control the Deep,
yes,
and because he knows he can control the Deep, and he knows how bad the Deep wants to be back, and you know, he terrible scene where he brings the Deep into dinner in his room to kind of tell him that he wants him back on the team
with the marketing girl Ashley and the Deep's wife now from the church
serves them a seafood tower and then makes him eat his
Timothy.
Friend Timothy the octopus who's in his aquarium in his room makes him eat him. Oh, it's so bad.
So evil. It's so wrong, people, but I have to laugh because it's so demented and it's so perfect for the Deep to get his. But his buddy, this octopus, Timothy, he's like talking to him as he's sitting on the plate in Homeland.
He's begging for his life.
He's begging for his life. He says he's got kids. He's got 3 children. And Homelander's like, eat Timothy.
Yeah, so
oh, my God. And he knows he has to.
The other thing is he
part of his control.
He can control him. So that's why he wants him back on the team. And he knows how much Starlight hates him, which is the other reason why. Because Starlight's now taking some of his thunder, is now the co-captain.
Yep.
And he wants her to be uncomfortable. So that's the other reason. But she confronts him and says, I have a vote. I have the final vote. Stan Edgar's the guy's name who runs VOD.
Yep.
He said, Stan Edgar said, in my contract, I have the final say on anybody new on the team. And he's like, you're going to have the deep on the team because I said so. And she's like, well, do I need to remind you of the video of the 747?
Yeah.
And that's where he says.
That's when he gives the big I'll destroy the world speech. Yeah,
release it. Yeah. He said, "What, you know, because if you release it, then I got nothing to lose. And then I'll just
if they're
go.
Not going to love me, they're going to fear me. And I don't know if that's not a bad thing.
So you mentioned Soldier Boy. I do want to talk about because that's a very big subplot to this. We find out that there was a.
How great is all these plots and all these storylines that they have going on? And it's not hard to follow, people. You got to get into this show. I'm telling you, all these storylines are so interesting and so like such a huge parody on everything that's happening in Marvel, DC. I mean, it's like this mixture of all your
every
love.
Character is based on some kind
yes,
of Marvel or DC
so
character.
It's so great. It's so much fun, these parodies, and it's so just the brutality of it. It's fun to watch.
Well, we find out that there was a team that was formed back in the 80s called Payback.
Payback.
And it was Vought's first foray into superhumans in the military. And the woman who runs the CIA division that Butcher's been working for was in charge of the Sandinista camp in El Salvador back in the 80s. You know, the whole Iran-Contra thing was, you know, that she was like running the whole thing. Well, Vought sends the superhuman team down there and it includes
young Stan Egger brings them in, right?
Right. It includes Soldier Boy. Yep. It includes the Crimson something. What's her name? Crimson Cowl, I think is her name. The Crimson Cowl.
The Crimson.
Basically their version of Scarlet Witch.
Yeah. Yeah.
The something twins. I could look it up. The something twins.
Yeah. I haven't seen their powers yet. No. As a matter of fact, we don't even get a chance.
And Black Noir was on the team as well.
And
SWAT. Right?
And SWAT is a mosquito guy. SWAT. Yeah.
He was a mosquito.
But he didn't last long. He got blown up.
No, but what ends up happening in that battle is, so we were told, or Butcher was told, that Soldier Boy was killed.
Yeah.
And there was this weapon that killed him. They're like, no, it's impossible. He's
so they're
way
in
too
Nicaragua,
strong.
And then SWAT-O's flying around and gives away their position to the Sandinistas and
the Russians.
Well, they bring in these Russian special forces, the people that they're fighting in Nicaragua, and they bring in these Russian special forces and they start attacking the place, and that's when all hell breaks loose.
Right, but supposedly Soldier Boy gets killed, and there's this weapon that the Russians had that was able to take out Soldier Boy, and they're like, well, what was it? We got to find this weapon, and that's like the mission they're on now, is to try to find this weapon. Well, we find out when she kind of tells the story, he's like, he wasn't killed. He was captured and taken away by the Russians. So he was taken away in that helicopter. They had taken him away. Or they said, they have his body. They have his body.
Well,
but
she, the Crimson.
They killed him.
What's her name? Crimson something. She's telling the CIA, the lead of the CIA, that they killed him with this special laser and they took his body away. And I'm like, what? And she's like, that's impossible. She's like, I saw it for myself. And she's the only one that saw it, I think. Crimson's the only one that saw it. And everybody believed her because she said it was true. I don't know if he's dead. I mean, obviously he's not because we've seen the trailers. We know he's still alive, which is going to be interesting. But the whole premise of this first three episodes, is that they're looking for this weapon to kill Homelander. And they think whatever the Russians use to kill Soldier Boy is strong enough because Soldier Boy was invincible like Homelander, is strong enough to kill Homelander. So that's the whole episode of all three first episodes of them trying to find this weapon. And the end, episode three, we kind of find out the story of how he died, and it's very ambiguous. We're not really sure if it's true or not. You also see Black Noir is a black man, and Stan tells him that he needs to wear his mask. I thought that was crazy. Needs to wear his mask because it does better ratings for inner city. I mean, for everybody,
well,
better ratings. I mean, back in the 80s?
It was the 80s. It was the 80s. You know, not quite ready for a strong black man to be in the military.
Crazy.
Or on a superhero
That's
team.
Crazy.
Right.
Anyway, she wakes up after getting blasted, like pushed back from a blast. And she sees Black Noir, and he's all messed up, and he's still alive. He's trying to heal himself, but he's really messed up bad. And then
he decided he didn't want to wear the mask. And then he goes and he's fighting, and all of a sudden his face gets completely mangled. His eye is all messed up, and he reaches for his mask to put it back on because he realizes how messed up he is.
Yeah, how important it was for him to have that mask in the first place. But interesting. I think it's I think it's going to be very interesting to find out what exactly happened to Soldier Boy, because I don't think he obviously he's
dead. He's not dead. We've seen him in the trailer with the
beard, and he's got this different power. So that'll be very interesting. But it's so good. I mean, that last episode was so great. Would you find her Crimson?
Oh, I know who plays it. It's Lori Holden who plays her.
Smoke show.
Yeah,
she's a smoke show.
She was in. Wasn't she the one in Dumb and Dumber? I think she was the one, the girl from Dumb and Dumber.
That was Holly.
Oh, that's yeah.
Yeah, Holly something. That wasn't her. She's an absolute smoke show too.
Oh well, Crimson Countess.
That's it.
The Crimson Countess, yep. Which is basically you know, play on the Scarlet Witch.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, I think they're saying, where's this weapon that can kill Homelander? They're trying to find this weapon. Yeah. I think the weapon is actually Soldier Boy. So he is the weapon that can kill Homelander. And I think they experiment on him. The Russians capture him and experiment on him and make him stronger than he actually was. And now he's at the point where he's a weapon
that
can
take down. So they captured him.
Very similar to what happened in The Winter Soldier. Like, he gets captured, gets experimented on, and becomes more powerful, and now is being, like, kept frozen until they need him to take out Homelander. And he's now the weapon, I think they find out. The other one big thing I want to talk about, we're already way into this. The other kind of side part of this is, at the beginning of episode one, Queen Maeve goes to Butcher and gives him 3 green vials of a chemical formula.
V23.
Yeah. And tells him, this has been experimental, but they've developed a way to give normal people superhuman powers for a day. Now, it only will last for a day.
24 hours, yeah.
Temporary. Yeah. But you'll be a soup for a day. And she says, I know you need some help, and if you ever need it. And he struggles for a while to try to find out if he should take it or shouldn't take it. He's not really sure.
Yeah.
And eventually one night he's like, fuck it. Because he has to take out Soldier
Boy's
gunpowder. Gunpowder. So
he's going to Gunpowder to find information about Soldier Boy, how he died, what kind of weapon it was. And Gunpowder's a total douchebag, a total prick. And he ends up shooting him in the leg and then ricocheting some bullets like Deadshot, ricocheting some bullets and cut him in the cheek. He ends up... Butcher ends up getting away from Gunpowder, but barely. And he's like, shit, I can't face him again without something. And he takes it.
And he gets invulnerability, superhuman strength, and
laser eyes.
Laser eyes, man.
And lasers his car and half his face off.
Oh, it was crazy.
Oh, that was nuts.
But yeah, so he's now got this formula that can kind of turn him into a soup for a day. And he knows it kind of levels the playing field. And he ends up killing Gunpowder, you know, very easily. And he's like, well, then we see... Later on, he's struggling, like there's some after effects, right? Like it's not fully gone away, and he's like sitting in the bathroom in the CIA agent's house, like struggling to like make the stuff go away. He doesn't want it anymore, but it's still kind of lingering, yeah. You know? So
the Crimson Countess, that's the key. She's got information on Soldier Boy. I think
she knows more than she's leading.
She
on.
Absolutely, whether
because
she's a double agent.
Frenchie and Kimiko go to talk to her in the carnival, remember?
Yeah.
And she totally like runs, you know, and
how funny was that carnival? The Vault Carnival?
Oh.
How crazy.
It's like Disney World for Vault.
Right.
Yeah.
Woke Walk.
Yeah.
That was hilarious. LTGT Turkey Legs, I think it was. I mean, just crazy stuff.
It was insane.
It was so funny. I guess they were expressing that what's her name? Maeve.
Queen Maeve.
Yeah, is a lesbian. And they're like incorporating inclusion into their theme parks. It was so funny. It was so over the top.
But Crimson Countess is now doing a show at the theme park that basically is about Soldier Boy because they were like boyfriend, girlfriend back in the day. But she's up on stage singing and everything else. But Kimiko and Frenchie go there to capture her. And they do for a while. And they're talking to her. She gets away. Then she ends up like blowing up a guy in the middle of the street. It was like, it's hysterical.
Oh, it's awful.
It is so insane. Guys, if you're not watching the show, you're
Please
missing out.
Yeah. Can't wait for episode 4.
Yep. They're going to go off. I think the team is back. So Huey effectively left his government position. He had Kimiko break his arm so he could take a couple days off.
Yeah.
And so now he's back with the boys. Mother Milk came back. We find out that Soldier Boy was responsible for killing Mother Milk's family.
Yeah.
So now he wants to come back and get his revenge. Frenchie and Kimiko are back. So the whole team is back. And now they're like, Huey basically tells Butcher, you were right. Your way is the only way. We got to do it your way. And Butcher's like, all right, mate, let's do it.
Yeah.
You know? And so
he's gone off the rails a little bit too. Butcher has, because he's taking that chemical now, and I think it's really affecting him. He breaks ties with the young boy, Homelander's son and his wife's son, and he's gone off the rails a little bit too. But it's really great. They introduced a new character called Nina. She's this Russian soup that Frenchie used to work for, and now she's back in the picture.
Is she a soup?
I think she's super powered. Remember when she was saying, you remember when she cut off that guy's arms and legs and he wouldn't die, she wouldn't let him die or something like that? I think she's a soup. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
know.
She's
obviously pretty powerful. Frenchie was scared of her.
Yeah, but I think, you know, she was talking about, like, you remember, what's your safe word? And, like, so I think she's more of a dominatrix than she is a soup. I don't know. Could be.
We'll
she's,
see,
she
yeah.
likes to control her people, but...
I think Butcher's going to use her to get into Russia and try to find out what they did.
He's like, good idea. Let's call her. Yeah. You get her on the phone. I've got a deal for her. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Okay, definitely do that accent more during the show. That was fucking awesome.
Got a great fucking idea.
Dude, give me one diabolical.
Diabolical, mate. But yeah, so it's look, awesome. If you're not watching this show, you're missing out. And it literally, don't start with season three. Season one and two, we're going to break down the seven here on this episode. But look, guys, if you're not watching it, we're going to be talking about it every
week.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Titan and I were kind of joking before we started the show. I have a feeling we'll be speaking a little bit more about the Boys episode every week than we might be speaking about the Ms. Marvel premiere this week.
But
so
we will cover Ms. Marvel. Absolutely.
We will talk about Ms. Marvel. And maybe we'll get a couple of his children to come down here and tell us how good the show is. But we'll be talking about it next week for sure.
Different angles, different levels of the spectrum there. Good and absolutely brutal.
All right, well, let's jump into the news section. So good news, couple of things about Doctor Strange we heard this week. So Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness just crossed the $900 million mark in box office take. Look, we said this thing was going to scratch, you know, get close to $1 billion. I think when it's all said and done, it probably will be in the, you know, mid 900s. Look, it made a ton of money. It did very well. Was extremely successful for Marvel. I think they're very happy with the end result. Other good news we heard about the movie is that it's going to be premiering on Disney Plus June 22nd.
Good.
So we're only like 2.5 weeks away from that coming to Disney Plus.
That's great.
Plus.
I don't have to go to the theater and see it. I'm just going to wait till it streams to see it a third time.
That is amazing.
Yeah,
so
it's great.
I'm not sure, and I don't know if you heard this when you read that news. I'm not sure if they're going to do what they did with Black Widow and a couple of the other ones where it comes out as like a premier access movie first and then it's free after a while, but it might be like I don't know either. That's why I'm wondering if they're just releasing it straight to it. Because when Eternals came to Disney Plus, it was just
straight
free.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if they're doing that or not, but hey, man. Disney wants to give value to their Disney Plus subscribers. This is a way to do it. Hey,
yeah, no question.
Major blockbuster movie just got done with its run in the theaters, coming straight to Disney Plus. I mean, that's awesome.
Pretty strong. That's strong.
That's great for me. I don't know why we're talking about this, but I guess Scarlett Johansson won some award at the MTV Movie Awards.
I don't think anybody watched it, to be honest with you. So a lot of
people still do those.
That's what I'm saying. I heard somebody talking about it, and they were like, it was so funny. I was watching it. I didn't know who any of these people were.
Right.
Like the best kiss was one of the guys from Jackass kissing a snake. I mean, how ridiculous
is Downtown that? Julie Brown still hosting that?
That's a old school callback for you younger kids out there. Downtown Julie Brown used to be a VJ on MTV. But yeah, I mean, Scarlett Johansson won an MTV award for best superhero. That just shows you how far off they are, but good for her. Way to go, Scarlett Jo.
Another notch in her belt.
There you go.
Good news, I guess we heard. I want to talk about this a little bit. So I Am Groot, we knew Marvel and Disney were working on a special for Disney Plus called I Am Groot. This was
animated,
animated shorts project. I know James Gunn is heavily involved in this. And there's the person that did... What's the name of the animated show? I can't remember the name. There was a guy who had done another animated show on one of the other networks is now doing this as well. So I'll try to remember what it was. It was something like Futurama or something like that.
Okay.
Somebody that was involved in another animated show is doing I Am Groot with James Gunn. But it's a series of animated shorts. So what I'm that leads me to believe is these are like 10 to 15 minute, like little animated episodes. And they're supposed to be giving us kind of the journey of baby Groot to kind of adolescent Groot.
Yeah. You know, for, that teenagers. Yeah.
That time period between Guardians of the Galaxy 2 and Infinity War time frame, when he was a baby Groot in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and then he was a teenage Groot in Infinity War, you know, what happened in that time period. So kind of giving us that. Now, here's what's interesting is that this is coming out on Disney Plus on August 10th. We get the She-Hulk series literally like the next week.
Yeah.
Which leads me to believe we're going to get all of these I Am Groot episodes all simultaneously.
They're probably just shorts.
Yeah, they're probably like five or six of them.
You can't release a 10-minute short.
Animated short.
Animated short every week. No one's going to hold their... They want people to binge this. And I think people will.
I think this is just the start of kind of the promotional period for Guardians 3, which is coming out next year. I think this is the start of that. We're going to have this summer.
Yeah.
Then we're going to have the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special in the Christmas time frame. And then we have Guardians 3 coming out next year. So I think all this, and we get the Guardians in Thor, Love, and Thunder. So that's another place we're going to see them. So this is just telling me this is the start of the promotional period. And these are great characters, obviously. You know, you can...
It reinvigorates people to the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Because they've been gone for a while.
Yeah, and they tie people into... We're going to get a little bit of them in Thor, Love, and Thunder. They're definitely in that. So we'll see a little bit of them in that. And then the Groot thing will happen, which is perfect. Hey, you know what else I heard, Professor? I heard that Werewolf by Night is still scheduled for Halloween 2022.
I believe they're done with it.
Yeah, I mean, how great is that?
They're done with it.
But do you hear a lot about that? Nothing.
No. And
they are so tight-lipped about that.
That leads us into our next news item. So we have Disney Plus Day coming September 8th. So this is an event that Marvel did and Disney did a couple of years ago leading into their big D23 event. They did a Disney Plus Day, which was really just focused on all of the great content and movies and shows that were coming to Disney Plus.
Yeah.
It's really 100% focused on Disney Plus content.
Disney Plus, yep.
And the last time we got this was when they were really telling us about WandaVision.
Yeah.
And this was even like earlier than that. We got the whole like slate for WandaVision and Falcon and Winter Soldier and all the other things. We kind of told us about all the projects coming, and it was really, really cool.
Moon Knight, yep.
Yes, we heard about Moon Knight for the first time. Well, now we're going to get that again September 8th. So believe so the only thing we know for Disney Plus right now, we know I Am Groot's coming out August 10th. I believe She-Hulk premieres the next week, mid-August, August 17th, I believe. And so we're going to have that kind of through the August time frame. But this Disney Plus Day, we should get the rest of the year slate and maybe even to early next year on what's coming on Disney Plus from Marvel specifically.
Yeah.
Including the Werewolf by Night
Secret
special.
Invasion.
Right. Werewolf by Night in the October time frame. Yeah. The Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special.
Yep.
Secret Invasion.
Yep. Echo.
Echo. Mm-hmm. Ironheart,
mm-hmm.
Armor Wars, you know, all the ones we know that are kind of in the works right now. We should be getting some more solid time frames around
great.
That we're coming out.
We're hoping we get some instead of these TBD.
And hopefully, I'm hoping we're going to hear about the Nova project. So that was one that they basically came out and said, we are working on the Nova project for Disney Plus with no specifics, no timeline, no casting announcements, no dates.
They attached two directors, or no, two producers.
Right.
Right.
That's all we know. They're writing a script, or there is a script, and then there. But I mean, what if they like announce who's going to be playing Nova? You know, that's
huge.
That would be enormous.
Yeah, it would be huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that'll be exciting. So I do believe we'll hear kind of some details about Werewolf by Night.
And as stuff drops, people about that, we'll let you know. We'll stay on top of it. Yeah, we'll stay on top of it.
All right, well, let's move into our topic of the week this week, and it's brought to us by our friends over at Studio GG Studios.
Studio GG Studios. Hey, give them a love. Watch a commercial. Google them. They've been doing some really great stuff, some fun stuff.
Yeah, definitely check them out. We'll put a link to their YouTube page on the screen here as well as in our show notes. We're going to talk about, we spent a lot of time talking about the first three episodes of The Boys, and we mentioned this team called The Seven, right? So The Seven is... And man, that's what when you and I first started watching this show, what kind of drew us in, but also just made us realize how crazy what we're big fans of is in reality, right? Yeah. So the Seven is this TV show's version of the Justice League or the Avengers, right? These are seven superhumans that are on a team. This team works for a major corporation called Vought, and they were in charge of creating the Compound V formula, which turned children into superheroes, and then they recruit these superheroes to be on this team, and the team has merchandise and movies and commercials and reality television shows and everything. I mean, it's all centered around this
team.
What if
the world we love, the comic book world we love, was real, and how bastardized it would be,
and how corporatized, you know,
corporatized, and how fucked up it would be, and that's what this delivers.
But the Seven is really their version of the Justice League or the Avengers, right? And they had a movie that they made, and they featured it a lot last year called The Dawn of the Seven.
Which, by the way, they opened up season 3, episode 1, with a clip from Dawn of the Seven. And the big villain playing Stormfront in it is Charlize Theron, right?
Charlize Theron was playing Stormfront. Well, you gotta wait a minute. You gotta make an aside. What they showed us in that episode was the director's cut. So it's kind of like the Snyder cut, that they had for Justice League. That's awesome. Was the director of this. I can't remember his name. It was his cut of Dawn of the Seven. So they made Dawn of the Seven last year. It came out, and Stormfront was on the team at the time.
Yeah.
Well, now that Stormfront, they found out she's a Nazi and she's a really bad person, the director redid it, and Charlize Theron was playing her in the movie, and they kind of had a scene where, like, the other members of the Seven had to fight against her and everything else.
Two different superheroes she's played. That's awesome.
It's hysterical. Yeah. So, but anyway, I want to talk about who are the Seven.
Yeah, who are the Seven?
Who are the members of the team?
Go through it, Professor.
Yeah, we'll kind of talk through that, and we'll give a little bit of details about each of them, one of them are, if you don't already know. So the current members of the team, also we'll say the way the team is structured as of today, as of episode 3, season 3, this is the way the team is structured. So we have Homelander, who is an amalgam of basically Superman.
Yep.
Right? We're introduced
to Omni-Man from Invincible, more like, but yes.
But he's got Superman's powers. Yes. He's invincible. He's got super strength. He can fly. He can shoot lasers out of his eyes.
Super hearing, super speed.
Yeah, super breath. Smell. He has breath, you know, the cold breath. He's got basically Superman's powers. He wears a costume that's got a cape of the American U.S. flag on his back. And he's basically being portrayed as this all-American superhero to the public.
Yeah.
And we find out in season 1 he is a douchebag of the biggest douchebaggery.
Epic.
And he's got all these mental issues and problems, and we find out he was a test tube kid that was never had parents, was raised in a Vought laboratory, was given Compound V when he was a baby, and that's why he, you know, became so powerful. And he is just mentally just screwed up beyond all, but he's so powerful and he knows it, and he basically runs the team like it's, you know, his, and he says he could scare anybody because he can basically, like, whisper on people and they'll die.
Yeah.
And he's done that a couple times in the show. Remember who was they had the guy that tried out for the Seven who was, like, the big kung fu master, and he was doing, like, all these stunts and the thing. He's like, oh, you're really great. How do you handle this? And he just, like, breaks his head. Yep, you can't do that. He's off the team. He just kills him. I'm like,
holy
crap.
Yeah, it was a blind guy. That was
blind. Yeah, he was like Daredevil.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Like Daredevil. But he's like, well, that's amazing. Did you see this coming? You know,
it's amazing. Crazy.
But he's so disturbed. But he's the leader of the team. The co-leader now, she's been promoted to co-leader of the team, is Starlight. And again, she was brought onto the team in the first episode of the first season. She was the new person being promoted into the team.
Total smoke show.
They wanted another female character on the team. Her powers are light-based powers. If you're familiar with
superhuman strength.
She's strong, but I wouldn't say she's, like, superhumanly strong.
Oh, she's lifting cars and shit.
Did she?
She's pretty car, yeah. She's got superhuman strength.
But she's got light-based powers, why her name is Starlight. So if you're familiar with the character Dazzler from the X-Men comics, she basically can create light and, you know, make it so bright you can't see, and it has the ability to control light, so she can take all the light out of a room and everything like that. So that's kind of, she's got light. She can control light is her power. So Starlight, she's the co-captain. Queen Maeve is their version of Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Basically, that's what it is. She's Wonder Woman. She's very strong. She's very durable. She's you know, a strong person as well. And she's somewhat honorable, but she's kind of feels like she's caught up in all this crap too. And she's also afraid of Homelander and wants to take him down. But she was very heavily featured in the first couple of seasons, but we haven't seen much of her this year. We haven't just seen very...
Well, she's the one that gave Butcher the vials of V23. Yeah,
seen much of her around the rest of
No.
her. The other member is a character called Black Noir, and he's in this, you know, tight black suit.
Yeah.
And, you know,
like
you never...
Black Panther Batman type. Yeah.
Yeah, but you never see his face. He wears this mask that, you know, you never see his face. We saw just a glimpse of his face at one point in time. He was hunting down a superhuman that was in the Middle East, and the superhuman like blew himself up and it just barely like creased, you know, his mask, and you saw his deformed skin under the mask.
Yeah.
And then he just basically like cut the guy's head off. He's, you know, he's kind of like, he's like Snake Eyes from G.I. Joe.
Right.
With superhuman like speed and strength. And, you know, everybody's afraid of him. He's like a scary dude. Like he doesn't talk.
No,
he doesn't. He's like,
he did in episode 3 when he was younger, but apparently something happened to him in Nicaragua that scarred his face. And
maybe he took away his vocal cords.
Yeah.
The one thing, his big weakness, the one thing we know about him, he has a nut allergy.
Yeah.
And I guess Queen Maeve found that out and she used it against him when he was trying to prevent them from doing
it. We haven't seen much of it. Maybe he's in a coma still from the nut allergy.
We think he might be on the shelf at the moment. But yes, I'll tell you some things off the air about him that I've been holding back, but I think they're going in a completely different direction in
the comics.
Show. Yes.
Yeah, I heard what he was in the comics.
Oh, you did hear that?
Yeah, he's a replica of Homelander.
He's basically a genetic duplicate of Homelander.
It's completely different in the show, though.
Yes. In the comic books, he was a DNA duplicate of Homelander that they had put on the team in case Homelander went off the rails, and then he would be the one to take Homelander out.
Yeah.
And that was the secret I was keeping from you for, like, the first 2 seasons. I never told you because I didn't want to spoil it for you. And I thought that they might be doing that on the show. Well, now we found out that this guy is a completely different character. He's, you know, African-American male, and, you know, it's not what they're doing from the comics. So I think they're going in a completely different direction. I think they're using the kid, Billy, or Tommy, I don't know what's his name.
Yeah, the little boy, his boy, yeah.
I think they're using him kind of more in that role on the show. The other member is A-Train. So as Titanium mentioned, he's basically the amalgam of Flash, right? Or Quicksilver, you know, super speed. He's super fast. First episode of the first season, you know, he's running down the street from somewhere or to somewhere and runs through Huey's girlfriend as she's standing on the edge of the street and just completely disintegrates her and didn't even know it.
Big heart condition, though, and
yes,
can't run anymore.
He was being threatened in season 2 by another speedster who claimed that he was faster than A-Train and he wanted to take his place on the team.
Yeah.
So they had this race on a track and he ended up losing and he was really like pissed off about it. And so he started taking some drug to kind of like pump himself up and get him a little faster. And it really screwed up his heart to the point that now, and I don't think everybody knows this, but now if he runs again, his heart might explode. So,
they said it. He says it to his brother as he's coming out of the doctor's office. He said, it's Russian roulette. The doctor says, I can run and nothing might happen, or I could run and my heart can explode. So it's Russian roulette.
But I don't think the team knows it. I don't think Vought knows it.
No,
right?
No.
So he's now kind of he's the speedster on the team, but he's not really being a speedster. He's like, and they're doing this whole side kind of, he's trying to remake himself as kind of a...
Homelander keeps giving him shit for gaining weight.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I see you eating those cookies in your room. He's like, well, I got to eat 5,000 calories a day. He goes, well, you're
also not
packing
running
on some pounds, right? Yeah, because he's not running,
it's
right?
Brutal, Homelander. Who else is on the team?
The other member, The Deep, so was on the team in season 1.
Parody of Aquaman.
Aquaman, Namor, you know, can speak to sea life. He's got, we found this out in the show, he's got actual gills in his rib cage.
Yeah.
And they're like,
can breathe underwater.
He breathes underwater, all these other things. But, you know, swims really fast. He's basically Aquaman. But he's, again, kind of a little bit of a pompous ass in season 1, gets kicked off the team, ends up joining a cult in season 2, and now Homelander has brought him back. He's gone through this whole redemption arc where they're now doing reality shows about his time in this cult and how they mess with his mind, and he's now seeing therapists, and he's got a wife and all this other stuff now. So, anyway,
great character.
Yeah, he's back on the team. And then the other one is the new kid on the block, actually, Supersonic. So this is brand new, just got on the team this episode.
Starlight's old boyfriend from years ago when they were younger.
He was in a boy band, and she was a pageant, you know, queen and a girl, and they had this very public relationship as teenagers. You know, again, very similar to like Justin Timberlake and Britney Spears type of thing, right?
When they were on the cover of Teen Beat,
right? Yeah. Those types of things, right? So. Yeah. But now he's been asked to be on the team. We haven't seen his superpowers yet. No. Do you believe he's a speedster?
Yeah, I think he's a speedster. Yeah, Supersonic. Yep.
But anyway, so he's on the team now officially. So that's the seven. There are former members of the team. We've been introduced to some of them, and some of them have been alluded to. In the first season, one of the members of the seven was a character called Translucent, who basically was the invisible man. He can make himself invisible. And so if he had no clothes on or anything, like, he could be the invisible man, go anywhere, be anywhere. He'd be in the room, you wouldn't even know it. And that's where, like, they, like, shoved a grenade up his ass and killed him in, like, the first season or something like that.
Oh, because he could make his skin turn into this alloy that was transparent, and it was indestructible. So that he could take bullets, he could be shot, he could be stabbed, they could try to drill through it. His skin was impenetrable. But that's when they shoved the grenade up his ass and put a remote control on it, and then that's how they blew him up.
Yeah, so they killed him in season one. So he was on the team originally, and they spent most of season one trying to find a replacement for him, who ended up being Stormfront. So we talked about her earlier. They kind of, you know, recruited her beginning of season two. She came on the team officially. She had basically the powers of, I would say, like, kind of combination between Thor and Storm from the X-Men. Yeah. You know, she had lightning-based powers.
Indestructible, and could fly. Very durable.
Yeah, and very durable. We found out that she was the original Soup. She had got her powers way back in, like,
Von Vaught, the German scientist, was his wife,
They were married, but she was his first experiment back in the 40s or 50s, and so she's ancient as well, but she's been kept alive and kept young because of the Compound V in her system. But again, she was heavily maimed at the end of season two, and from what
by
we've
Homelander's
been told,
son,
by Homelander's kid, but from what we've been told, she killed herself this season, so we believe she's dead. You might think she's not, but I think she is.
I think she
they're
is,
writing her off the show. And then the other one we know about is a character called Lamplighter, who was on the team prior, and he had left the team, and he had he would walk around with a lamp on a stick, and he could basically use it as like a flamethrower, right? So kind of like Pyro from the X-Men, right?
Yeah, he
had
a lighter.
As long as there was a flame, he could control the flames, very similar to like Pyro from the X-Men comics. And the team worked with him a little bit to kind of get behind the scenes in Vaught and find out things about
mentally lost it. Yeah.
Yeah. And he kind of
kicked
like
him off the team. Yeah. But they ended up pretending that he was killed and he worked in some secret facility, but he ended up helping them at the end and then died eventually. Yeah.
Yeah. They ended up killing him off. But so those are the characters we know
Good
about.
Recap.
And we know, again, we know about others, you know, from Payback this year, that are going to be part of the show that we've already seen, and we're going to see Soldier Boy a little bit more too, and so we'll see what kind of that
awesome can't goes. Wait for episode 4.
Yep.
We'll cover it. Big show next week, people, so check us out. But Professor, let's ring the bell. School is over.
All right, well, that's it for us this week. We'll be back next week for more Super Talk. To get in touch with us on social media, hit us up via email, supertalkpodcast@outlook.com or at supertalkpod on Twitter. Until then, stay super, everyone. We'll be right back.